Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor with Real Broker here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take away a few things from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is a dear friend and fellow real agent, Michael Carr. Michael is not only a great friend, but he is also one of my past clients. Michael is a top realtor who jumped into the real estate game later in life. I can't wait for you guys to hear Michael's story. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Jamie. It is an honor to be here, and I absolutely appreciate you having me. Although I'm not too thrilled about going behind Mr. Sam, who had the greatest singing voice that I've heard on your podcast.
Yeah, well, you're going to bring a ton of value because your ideas are so awesome, and what you've been able to accomplish is going to definitely resonate with realtors. So tell us a little bit about how and why you got into the real estate business and give us a little backstory.
Yeah, sure. Oh, like you mentioned before to the audience, Jamie was my first realtor. And I think he made it look too easy. He has a smooth, smooth personality, very calm. And I resonated with that. And I thought along the way, maybe I'd give this thing a shot. What I found out is it's not easy. Jamie just made it look easy.
Right.
So, yeah, I transitioned from the Marine Corps, wound up in South Louisiana as a commercial saturation diver. Both of those spanned decades, those careers. And then I wound up in this later in life into real estate itself. And it was just a complete 180 for me. So it's been a wild ride. I've loved every minute of it. And I'm sure we can go a little deeper on that here.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so what was it about, I guess, the real estate career that was attractive to you? Like, what was it about, like, just the idea of being in the real estate career? Was it the flexibility? What was it with that?
Well, you made it look easy first. it was honestly like this. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I was all Marine, right? That was all I wanted to do. And I got injured. And so I had to find a new career. Commercial diving became that next career in life. And I took that same approach into commercial diving. I was just all in. It was what I could do right now. I got injured again. So
see a little trend here.
We're starting to see a pattern. I'm kind of stubborn. I got to get hurt to make a move.
Right.
But anyway, so, the next stage was I'd always thought about real estate. Just I've been fascinated by it. Even as a young person, my grandfather kind of invested in rentals. So I understood the value of real estate. So my wife encouraged me. She just said, look, you're at a stage in life where you could probably do this. Why don't you try it?
Right.
And that's nice. How we began.
Nice. I love that. So tell us a little bit about kind of what you do and to grow your business, because you haven't been in the business a very long time, but you've been able to make some massive jumps and some success at your previous brokerages, and you quickly became one of the top agents. So what was it about that kind of got you started? What you were able to kind of separate yourself from the pack? What were the things that you were doing that kind of allowed you to separate yourself?
So I guess the first things I noticed was, one, agents were probably the highest sold product in this business. I could see that there were so many programs out there for you to buy or participate in.
Right.
And it was exhausting to me. And I realized, okay, I am going to do this dollar free for the first year. MLS fees, of course, normal expenses I'm going to pay, but I am not paying for any lead generation systems. I'm not buying any leads.
Right.
I'm not paying for any coaching for 1 year, because I really felt like I had to learn this business.
Right.
It's important to me to be able to serve well. So that's how I got started. The same things we resonate with. I did the old school stuff, get on the phones, chase down those red for sale by owner signs, call up everybody and your mom, and walk neighborhoods, as crazy as it sounds. And I did find out the doors don't open as quick for a 6 foot, 200 pound male. People are kind of like, why are you on my front porch? But anyway, I just had fun with it and went out to try to meet people and just studied all the programs I could for free online, YouTube, everything like that. I just saturated myself in this business to try to learn it.
Nice, nice. Well, we're calling this episode Burn the Boats. Mm. Tell me a little bit about what that means in your mind.
That's a great line, and I love that, and I apply that to my life, and it's a no looking back type of mentality for me. It's really about always moving forward, not leaving anything behind that was valuable. You know, everything I've done in life has brought me to where I am, and everything has compiled the person that I am today. So nothing wasted, but what I'm doing now is my everything. I'm going forward. I'm not looking back. I don't have plan Bs. I don't look for that kind of thing in my life. I am doing what I'm doing full out. Everything right now.
So, all in. Yeah.
All in.
I like it. Yeah. I like that mindset too. Because, like, there's no path back to, you know, your previous life either. And I guess maybe even because of injury, there's no path back to your previous life either. So,
right.
You know, this has got to work. So I love that about encouraging agents, just speaking to agents is,
yeah,
like, this has got to work for all you people who are kind of listening. It's like, there is no path back to it not working. And I think when you have that mindset that there is absolutely zero path to it not working, then that just shows that you can just go all in and, like, you got to make it work no matter what. And I think a lot of that, the burn the boats, I think, was a former, you know, Spartan term or yes. Military term or something like that. So I'm sure that resonates a lot with your past as a Marine and the disciplines that were kind of shared there. So
it's really liberating. I just want to jump in on that.
Sure.
For agents that struggle with this place in their life, because I get it. You know, some have jobs and they're trying to work their way into this, or they may have a part-time job and they're hanging on to that element. But whatever that element is actually taking you away from full participation in the career that is yours. That's just my opinion. And so the faster you can let go of those things and go all in, I believe you'll see success quicker.
Yeah, and I think people are doing it for a number of reasons, of course, financially and not mm-hmm. really knowing if they're going to be able to make it in sure. this career. But then it's also holding them back in the sense that they're not having the financial success because they're not putting in the amount of work that's needed to see the results. So, you know, I know you and I share a lot of commonalities with being phone guys or whatnot, you know, so that's one thing that we follow, Ricky Carruth out mm-hmm. of Gulf Shores, Alabama, and he is a big phone guy. So tell me a little bit about, I guess, what you grabbed from Ricky and his style and things that you kind of resonate with him.
Absolutely. Great question. So Ricky Carruth, once I started following him, I realized that there's a way to do this business that isn't sales oriented. And to be honest with you, when I got in this business, that was the thing that worried me the most, is that I was going to have to be a salesman.
Right.
In that sense, and everything that doesn't sound great with that term was what I was feeling about it. But I just wanted to help people. And what Ricky was able to do was outline a great way to do that and give me permission to build relationships and give me a path to build relationships and kind of just allow that and show that it was doable. We can do this business like that. So for me, relationships over transactions have been something I've always tried to put in front of me. And the focus of the business is making friends, not selling houses. The friendships, the value lead to the production.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love that. And it's also finding ways that you can, you know, connect with your client base on a friendship level. That's awesome. Like I saw on social media later part of last year with the Christmas giveaways that you had, like that was amazing. Like I got to see the way you've been able to interact with your clients and do like these little Christmas giveaways and whatnot. So the one thing I would say to that too is the perfection, it wasn't perfect. It was just you turn the camera around,
right,
having a conversation with your client base, giving away gift cards. I think you might have had a Christmas hat on or something. Who knows? You know, so tell us a little bit about how you interact with your clients like that. Tell us a little bit about that giveaway and how you set that all up.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's so much fun. So I wanted to give back to the clients at the end of the year. You know, everyone that supported my business, whether it was a referral client, a past client, someone that gave me a referral, anybody on my email list, I felt these were my people and I wanted to take care of them. And so I set aside some money for a party, some prizes, and then I got to thinking about it and I said, you know what? Nobody wants another event around Christmas. Like, we all have parties, right? And, you know, to be honest with you, it's your realtor. you know, it might be fun and some people might come, but I wanted to make sure I took care of everybody. So I said, what can I do that's helpful? And so I got with my vendors. They participated with me. Some great vendors that I use and trust all year donated prizes and cash and things like that. And so then I matched it with my own prizes and cash. And then we had drawings every night. And we just drew from that pool, referrals, people that send referrals, and past and previous clients, and my email database.
Yeah, and what I liked about that too is it wasn't one, like you said, one big event that if you were at the event, then it went great, you know, but if you weren't at the event, then you missed out or whatever. So this was kind of something that you could spread out over multiple days and reach multiple people over social media. And a lot of people were watching. And even if they didn't win, they kind of got caught up in, oh, so-and-so won, or maybe I knew that person or whatever. So that was a fun way, I think, to interact with your people. And that was a creative way to really get connections with your clients and everything else. So I thought that was great.
Oh, yeah. We had some fun with that.
So tell me on the calling thing, too. We talked about cold calling.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about, like, what you do with your cold calling. Like, what's the strategy? Are you using some sort of software to find who you call? And how does that look?
Sure. So in the beginning, it was looking up for sale by owners, you know, driving around looking for signs, trying to find a reason to call a homeowner.
Right.
You know, and that gets pretty brutal, you know, on the tires and trying to seek these people out. And of course I was horrible at it. I didn't have good scripts. I mean, it's just work. You got to jump in and do it and find your lane. So after the first year that I'd committed to not paying for anything, my first paid, I call it lead source, would have been a dialer system.
Okay.
Excuse me. And that was Red X. And what that did was allows me to call entire neighborhoods, for sale by owners, expireds, rent by owners, multiple different avenues to touch base with property owners. And I didn't call them with the intent to sell them when I utilized one of my favorite lead generation systems in there, and it's called geofarming. What I would do then was utilize that around a listing or maybe in my open house. Something like that where I could call and touch base with the neighbors and actually establish a connection with them, with the whole goal being to just provide them some value of what's happening in the neighborhood, hopefully make a friend, maintain that relationship, and, of course, in the future, I'd love to be their real estate agent. And that relationship building has been what's really worked out for me. Now, I definitely would call a for sale by owner and try to help them out, give them my value, what I can do for them, and expireds. I love expireds as well, but yeah, it's pretty old school. That's what I do.
Yeah, and and that's what I kind of noticed quickly on is, of course, you know, when you got into the real estate business, I followed you, of course, because we're friends and past clients, and certainly I was cheering for your success in that too. But you know, I kind of wanted to give like a specific, like, as far as what I do in that scenario too, as far as like a specific script, and I've talked about it on other podcasts about kind of the style and the way that you approach, you know, maybe let's just say you have a listing in a subdivision. What you're doing in that case is, you know, you're calling around the neighborhood and you're saying, hey, just wanted to let you know I have a listing coming up at such and such address. It's the Abears or whoever it is, and they have a couple young kids, whatever. But I just wanted to give a call to a few of the neighbors and let you guys know a little bit about the home. It's 1,800 square feet, 3-bed, 2-bath, whatever it is. And I would love your help if you know of anyone who's trying to get into the neighborhood. I'd love your help to try to help find your new neighbor. And I'd love to get your email and be able to send you some pictures of this house or send you the information about the house whenever it comes on the market. And what some of the other neighbors have been finding helpful is having the access to sales in their neighborhood sent directly to their email as soon as they hit the market. So I'm doing things like that. They'll also be dropped down into my email, my weekly email list, which, you know, you and I both do that. And we'll talk a little bit about that more in a minute. But I mean, is that kind of similar to the style that you're going with when you're having these conversations with the, with those sellers, or is your pitch a little bit different to them?
Man, it's very close. Just like that. I'm calling like that, give them some information, share some value. Cause we know everybody wants to know what's going on in their neighborhood. Yep. Right. And so a lot of times you're going to get only a couple of responses back, you know, oh, that's nice, I saw that, or how much is it?
Right.
And you might get the question of how much is my home worth at this point, right? So now you're in a whole different conversation. So the conversation can go anywhere, but the goal is, just like you just spoke about, is to just get a contact with that person, maintain a connection point. And what we know is people will sell in the future. So I'm not even asking them if they want to sell. It's not the point of the conversation.
Right.
Unless they bring that up. But if I stay in connection with them, I do make sure they understand that I want to be their realtor of choice in the future. I am not afraid to ask for the business in the future, but I'm going to serve them from here till then.
Yeah. And what I like about the strategy, like we talked about just then, was you're giving them something of value. You're giving them something of value long term. You're saying, hey, here's sales that are happening in your neighborhood. Here's a recent sale. Here's a recent property that just got listed. You're giving them something of value that's interesting to them specifically. It's tailor-made for them. So I love things like, even my wife, I set her up to receive properties for sale in our neighborhood. And she's calling me, or she's talking to me about, hey, did you see that house that just popped up in Oakbourne? I'm like, I didn't even see it,
right?
You know, in our neighborhood. Like, I didn't even see it. She sees it before I do. So it's cool. I mean, it's fun. And it's a way that you can really keep in touch with people. And you know, when I get listings from my friends or from past these clients, they'll say things like, man, Jamie, like, I have my sister's a realtor or my mom's a realtor. And you've kept up with me with valuable information about my subdivision. And I think, you know, we're going in MLS and we're setting this up and it's automated and it's doing what it needs to do. And it's like they think that Jamie and Michael are sending them out properties every morning and they're, you know, just like receiving this information from us and we're sitting there working and when we've just got it kind of set up through MLS.
Yeah.
So I think that's it's a good strategy, and it's about meeting property owners. And I think you and I set up our business very similarly. We're laser focused on listings because we know that can kind of allow us the type of life that we want to live.
The best line I heard was, listings procreate. Listings have babies.
Have babies, yeah. Listings have babies, yeah, for sure.
You know,
sure.
And it's really true. If you focus on the listings, you can absolutely use them as lead generation tools. And you know that too. So that is not just one listing. I'm looking at that
absolutely.
As multiple sales, multiple opportunities to meet people throughout the process of just that listing. So listings are the key.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, so I highly agree with that. Listings are how I do my business. My business is majority listings. And then you get those buyers. You get those buyers who find your listings. And you know, this year alone, I said it was somewhat of a slow year for me, but it was, I had a great year so far because of having listings. You know, when you can kind of double in those deals because you have the listing, like that's just, you know, it allows you, even if you have a $150,000 sale, well, then that's equivalent of a $300,000 sale. So that's a really good way for us to, you know, to grow our business. So before we move on from that, like the other side of what we do is setting them up on a weekly email. So tell me a little bit about your weekly email and what you're sending out that's of value to those people who are on that weekly email.
Great question. You know, we all see emails come through, and what I don't want to do is be pitched in the trash as a spam. So I want to offer value. So it's not heavy on the real estate focus. The weekly email is usually more of a community-oriented email, like giving some information about upcoming festivals, what kind of events, maybe a restaurant tour. And a lot of times I'll do a little giveaway, and in fact, you kind of showed me how to do that, gave me a little idea. You know, I'll eat at a nice restaurant, go ahead and buy a gift card, throw that on the weekly email, and just have some fun. Let some people win a prize and, you know, hopefully give them some value. And then a lot of times we'll just include the interest rates, which used to be fun, but you know, now it's people want to know. So it's still important to put on there. So we share that. And then I might highlight a listing or something if there's something really fresh that's coming up. But yeah, every week, every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, without fail, that email will go out. And I believe it just shows people that you're here to work. You're serious about your business.
And look, I think for me, how I do mine too, is I'm the same way is we're trying to provide like a great topic that somebody's going to grab and read. And it's not a long deal. It's a couple, two or three paragraphs that they're going to grab and they're going to resonate with. And a perfect example of one that I think was really good was, you know, Lafayette bans Airbnbs. Like people around town are going to be curious about that. And then I'll have the link to the ordinance. But what I'm also trying to do in my weekly email is I'm also trying to have an engaging subject line that would allow them to click on it. When they see it in their email, I want it to be something, just for an example, Lafayette bans Airbnbs. Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to see that title and you're going to be like, well, I'm interested. I'll bite, you know, and you click on it. And another avenue too that I like, and we got this from Ricky Carruth, was, you know, like Ricky will put like a little diamond as the first character, a little diamond emoji as the first character on their email. So mine has a little small like knight chest piece on mine, and I think yours was what did you?
I stole the diamond.
He stole the diamond. Okay, but yeah, whatever it is,
chest piece is cool.
Yeah, but whatever it is, it's that little thing that when you see it in the email, you say you scrolling through your emails and you say, hey, there's Mike's email because it has the little diamond on it, or hey, there's Jamie's email because it's got the little knight chest piece on it. So I think that's a little way that realtors could kind of separate themselves on the email. And I think that that's just an interesting way to reach your people. And look, I can tell you, I sent mine out this morning at 5 a.m. I could probably go through the schematics right now. And even where we are this morning, early this morning, I still would say probably hundreds of people have already opened my email this morning.
That's awesome.
And usually before the office meetings, like on Wednesday mornings at 9:30, like hundreds of people have opened up my email. And it's just fun. You know, like I was stopped over at Festival International, you know, several people stopped me and they talked to me and they come up and they say, oh man, I'm loving the weekly email, or I'm loving that. Like that's such a good idea. And it's just a way that I can stay connected to them. And then they're also receiving homes in their neighborhood when things buy or sell or whatever in that neighborhood. So, you know, they're just getting really reach for me. I'm their realtor and I'm providing value to them every week. So I think that that's a really good strategy. And if you're not utilizing that strategy, that's something that you should probably implement in your business and reach out to me and Mike, me or Mike, to be able to
absolutely
see an example of how we do it. And hell, I've got a lot of realtors who are on my weekly email because they just want to see what I'm doing every week, which, hey, I'm like, hey, text me, you know, text me, send me your email, and I'll add you to my weekly email, you know, let you see how that looks. So did you have anything else on the weekly email that you wanted to add?
No, totally agree with everything you said. And yes, I'm an open book as well. Any agent that got any questions out there, I'm always here to help. I'm an open book.
Yeah, for sure. So, and then also too, like if you're hearing some things that just resonating with the conversation that you're interested, reach out to Michael. I mean, he's on, you know, Facebook. I'm not even sure you're even on Instagram or no.
I am.
Instagram. So Michael Carr, realtor, I think is kind of here. And we're going to put his information in the in the description of the podcast. So reach out to Michael for sure if you're interested in kind of hearing some of his strategies, because he is really, like, if you need business now, he can show you how to get business now. He's been able to come and generate his own business and get a lot of listings, which is great, and then really have a great way to follow up with people too, which is awesome. So transitioning into, tell us a little bit about your history in the real estate business and how you kind of came to us at Real Broker.
Sure. When I first started, I went around town and interviewed brokers. I somewhat had the understanding that as an agent, they were asking me to pay them part of my commission. That's about as much as I knew about real estate. Right. So I did not really know what to look for other than that and like maybe what they could help me with training-wise. So I did gravitate toward one of the big box brokers, learned a ton of value there. After 1 year, I went ahead and reevaluated my business, decided I wanted to take on another spot at another brokerage, and had good success there as well, learned a lot. I always say to everyone, every broker I've been to, I've learned from. Everyone has given me value. I don't have any stories of, you know, talking bad about anybody. Yeah, there's nothing absolutely like that. It's a growth process. And each year I would evaluate my business. And I like to say it ruthlessly, mathematically, psychologically, everything. I want to see if this is the place I can continue to grow at. Is it the place that will continue to help me learn to be a better realtor? Because that's the whole goal of this game, is to always be better, for me anyway.
Yeah, I like that.
Then I went to the next broker, and you know, it was a mid-level brokerage, very local oriented, I think 80 to 100 agents. Quickly wound up as the top producer in that particular brokerage, which actually scared me.
Right. Yeah, where you're like, okay, I'm a newer agent, yeah, well, and now I'm the top dog.
Yeah, I'm a baby, and I'm like, this is not really that encouraging to me.
Yeah.
On the one hand, it was nice to know I was doing good business, but on the other hand, I was like, I have hit the ceiling.
This scares me, yeah.
This scares me, because I'm that type of person who recognizes the room I'm in, and if the room isn't bigger than me, there's no growth. The ceiling is set. And so I knew every top producer that was there, I already knew what they did. I had seen them. We discussed it. I either dismissed or embraced their ideas, but there was nothing more to change my business.
Right.
And so I said, I have to take another trip around the block, look for another brokerage, interview brokerages. Eventually wound up at Real. I will back up and say I did hit another cloud base. I don't know how deep we're going into this stuff.
Yeah, sure. You can say it if you want.
I really embraced the cloud-based model, and I went to EXP. Loved the model and think it's a great brokerage. What I did see there was a few holes in the game that I wanted to fill. And when I saw District South transition to Real, it put Real on my radar. I honestly didn't have any insight about Real before that. EXP
right.
was the name I knew. And so then I looked into Real and I said, wait, these numbers are very good. And this very respected brokerage just took their whole brokerage
it took
over
50
there.
Plus agents.
Yeah, top
over
agents,
to Real.
You know,
yeah.
Great agents. Very, yeah. So it made me blink, made me look. And I called up my friend Jamie and we started talking about it. And the first question I asked was, what's in it for them?
Right.
You know.
Yeah. And I think we all were curious about that. Well, why are we doing this? You know, why are we going from a local brokerage to something mm-hmm. like this? And I was like, I just didn't know. I was like, is it, you know, was it a money move or what was the question? You know, right. why? But just seeing now in the back end of it, like how much tools that we have, the national exposure, you know, just the ability to grow as agents, like it's just been amazing in that sense of being able to like have Real on the back end of having also District South as that amazing community.
Yeah.
But there were some other things too about Real as far as like having the physical office. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about that.
So one of the holes I did see at EXP was there wasn't really a brick and mortar space. And I recognized quickly with real estate agents that we are social people. Like some are more social than others, but we need to be around people to really learn and grow and rub off on each other, encourage each other, these type of things. So the brick and mortar has its place. Some people can operate completely independently cloud-based, but by and large, I think we're a social element of people. So District South filled that void with their office space, because I walk in here and Jamie and I both have an office space. There's community space for any agent can come in and do work or attend meetings and all that stuff. It operates just like a brick and mortar brokerage, but we get the incredible benefits of a cloud-based brokerage as a complement. So that was super exciting to me, and I have not had any regrets. And I brought over a few agents from different brokerages since I've been here, and they are loving life at Real Broker, and they thank me, you know, for helping them to get here.
Yeah, for sure, because it also gives, and we talk about the collaboration and everybody in the office is so friendly and welcoming and everything else. It also gives them access to me and to people who are above me, mm-hmm. just being like in your downline. And I know you and I kind of recognize the same thing at our office meetings, is you look around the room and you see Lafayette's top producers that had all taken their business over to Real recently. Mm-hmm. And you talk about hundreds of millions of dollars in production in the same room. And I know you had mentioned it before, but like that doesn't exist anywhere else that you can really see like that volume in the same room with 50 agents in the same room doing hundreds of millions of dollars in production.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think you find this room anywhere in Lafayette. And I don't say that just because I'm here. I say that because I've evaluated this business as I've gone along. And
right.
The people are here. The real producers are here and still coming. So there's something to it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, so, I mean, look, I would say this. You've been able to achieve so much in your short amount of time that you've been in the business. And you know, I appreciate your friendship and the way that you do business. And it's so refreshing and fun to see somebody doing it the way that I consider it a really good way to do business, with cold calling and setting up your weekly email and doing the grind work, I call it, of hustling and getting business that way. And, you know, I think you've really done great with that whole mindset of just knowing that there is no path back to the mainland. Like, we've burnt the boats. It's all in. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Even if I got to dial phones till 10 o'clock at night, we're going to do whatever it takes to make it in this real estate business. And it's nice to have somebody else in it like that.
That's cool. And look, if I was to encourage anybody out there with my words, I would say this: do not worry about where you are, and don't worry about what people are going to think about you. Don't focus on the quality of the content you're putting out. If you're a social media person, focus on getting the content out first, right? Would you agree, Jamie?
Absolutely.
Because we're not going to ever be perfect about this thing, right? And I think some of us get hung up on that. I did when I first started. And let me tell you what, if you look back at my social media stuff, it is horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. And if you ever were able to hear a phone call I might have made in the beginning, it was just absolutely horrible. And if you ever went to one of my open houses, it was a train wreck. Not the open house itself, but me in the open house.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea what I was doing there, you know, but I knew I had to be in front of people to start learning this business. And the quicker I got in front of a lot of people, the faster I could learn to communicate with them. I could start to dial in on what's important. And so, like, get out there and just do the things that make us realtors. Do the work, the experience will come, and then you'll be able to see that people not only know and like you, but now they're going to start to trust you and you're going to earn their business. I feel like that is super important for agents to understand. We have to earn business.
Yeah.
It's not just because I got my license, I expect all my friends and family to buy or sell with me, because believe me,
they have 30 other agents.
They know people and it's their biggest dollar purchase or sale, and they might break your heart.
Yeah.
I've had my heart broken and I had to reevaluate and say, I wasn't worth hiring.
Yeah.
That's a hard place to come to. And I had to say, all right, I will not be in that position. I am going to work and learn and earn people's respect in business.
Yeah. And whenever I'm the same way, and whenever I have those disappointing things where I see a friend, you know, maybe list with somebody else or sell with somebody else, or see a friend post that they bought a house, I always ask myself this question. I always say, Jamie, how and in what ways did you reach out to them? Did you call them? When's the last time you called them? When's the last time you texted them? When's the last time you saw them in person? And are they receiving homes in their neighborhood when they sell? And are they receiving your weekly email? And if I can say that I've done all five or whatever the number was right there, then I've done enough. But if we cannot say that we've done enough, then we don't earn that business. Like, we only earn the business if we've done everything we can to stay in touch with those people and really be involved in their lives. And if we haven't done that, then it's on us. I always just say, it's don't be mad at them.
Right.
And, you know, it is a heartbreaking thing, but don't be mad at them when you didn't put in the work.
Mm.
So I think that that's something that's huge to just own it and own it that way is the best way to deal with somebody else buying or selling without you, you know?
So, I agree. Absolutely.
But is there anything else, because we're going to close out, is there anything else that you want to, you know, kind of mention that maybe we missed?
Oh, I thought we hit some great stuff, man. And again, I'm an open book. If there's anybody out there that has questions about real estate, you're either in it or you're curious about it, or maybe you're just at a stumbling block place, just reach out to me. I have built kind of a reputation of being a mentor and always an open book, ready to help agents. So when I say I'm here to help, it's not just clients. It's you guys too, man. And I mean that. I've recognized this is one stressful business. I've come from a long line of high-stress careers, and so I'm able to sometimes step this thing down to a controlled place, and agents have always told me that I'm pretty calm, even in the face of disaster.
Yeah, right.
But the reality is, my past two careers, if I made mistakes, people could actually die or be injured.
Yeah.
This career, if I make mistakes, people feel like they're going to die. So
yeah.
I give them the same amount of attention
because
it's important to them. It's very stressful to people, and I try to put myself in that place. And so anyway, if I can help anybody out, if I can help you with a new line of thought, any of that stuff, I'm here, man. Just reach out to me.
Yeah, for sure. So I appreciate you being on the podcast, and I hope that a lot of agents grabbed a lot of value from you know, our little chat. And I just appreciate everything. Hope that people really resonate with what you said.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me. Do I sing now? Or should I just I'll leave that for Sam.
Yeah. All good. And I appreciate it. And I hope you guys have a great day, and hope to talk to you guys soon.